Good morning and welcome to Just Markets 365. My name is Shay and today is April 5th, 2019. All right, let's get into the market data here globally, and then we'll get into the employment report, and that's basically the only two things we'll cover today. So the Asia Dow was basically flat for the day, down 6 basis points. The Nikkei, the Japanese index was up about 38 basis points, and the Hang Seng, the Hong Kong index, was down 17 basis. The Chinese index, the Shanghai, was up about 94 basis points. The Bombay Stock Exchange was up about 46 basis points. So you're seeing a mixed bag here in Asia, but with the only exception of China, which was up almost 8%, which is actually a pretty good reaction to the possible trade deal we're going to have here with China. Hopefully it's a good deal for both sides, and everything works out there. The FTSE 100 in Europe was up about 61 basis points. The DAX German index was up about 18 basis points. The CAC 40, 23. The FTSE MIB was up about 24 basis points. So across the board, you're seeing basically a flat day in Europe with the exception of the UK and whatever is going on there with the Brexit issue. That's really the biggest headline risk, I would say, in that index. And in here in the U.S., we're at about 11 a.m. here in the early afternoon or late morning, and the S&P is up about 42 basis points, up 12 points. The NASDAQ is up a little more than a half a percent at 42 points, and the gold is flat, and the West Texas Intermediary is up about 1.5%, getting closer to its counterpart in Brent crude, which is above just around $70 a barrel. So, and the West Texas Intermediate is trading at about 63 here. So we're seeing that oil has positive reaction to the employment numbers. And
the much anticipated report from the U.S. Department of Labor was released today, the employment report. This is a very, very important report that most of us investors that have been in the industry for a long time really look at and kind of and go through with a fine tooth comb and look at what the employment report looks like. And we look for weakness and we look for strengths in the labor market and try to anticipate where there's possible growth, because we think from a sector standpoint, that could lead into where we want to invest in the future as far as investment sectors are concerned. So let's get started. So the total non-farm payroll employment increased by 196,000 in March. The unemployment rate was 3.8%, and notable job gains were in healthcare and technical services. So going back to our previous podcast this week, we talked about, I believe on Wednesday, about the earnings coming up. And we saw that the most anticipated growth sector for earnings was the healthcare sector. And we're also seeing that the most job gains are also occurring in this sector. So that essentially means that we had about 6.2 million individuals that were unemployed. That are supposed to be part of the labor market. Among these, the adult men had an unemployment rate of 3.6%, women 3.3%, teenagers 12.8%, and the minority groups were all, had pretty low unemployment as well. Whites 3.4%, Asians 3.1%, African Americans 6.7%, Hispanics 4.7%. So we're seeing a little to no change across the board in the unemployment rate. Now, the next data point that we want to talk about is the labor force participation rate, which came in at 63%. And this data point really hasn't moved a whole lot in the last 12 months, right? And it's not going to, and you ask why. Well, this data point has been in a secular decline for the last 10 years, all right? And that is because you have one of the largest population groups, a generation, the baby boomer generation,
that is retiring at a high pace, right? And anytime when you have like one of the largest groups that are retiring at a fast pace, you're going to get a labor participation rate that's going to stay stagnant or get lower, right? And until we start replenishing the labor force, right, where we have the millennials that are now growing up and, you know, that are, you know, maybe in high school and getting older, and they may get into the labor force, that at that point this may begin to change. But at the moment in time, this is a secular trend, and it's not dependent on any economic cycles or business cycle. This is a secular trend. It's not cyclical. Now, the next data point I want to talk about is people that are employed part-time for economic reasons, which means that these individuals are employed part-time not because they want to be, because they're not able to find jobs that are full-time for their skill set, right? And this is a very important data point in my mind, right? Because this shows a long-term trend in the economy where there's a skills gap, right? If you go back and look at the unemployment data and you look at people who are considered, have some college education or have a college degree, have a very low unemployment rate versus individuals that have a high school diploma only, right? They have a much higher unemployment rate. So what we're seeing here is that the more education you have, you know, if you have some college or you went to a four-year university, you are highly likely to be employed full-time. In this case, you're seeing that many people are part-time because there's a skills gap. So we have to change some of these trends if for them to improve. But this is a number that's 4.5 million, a million individuals in our country that are working part-time because they cannot find full-time jobs. That is a problem. That is a productivity problem. That is a wage problem, right? Wage growth problem. So now let's go back to the headline number of 196,000 non-farm payroll number, right, that we talked about earlier in this episode. Now, what we're seeing is that, again, I said that the healthcare sector was leading the way, and the healthcare sector was 49,000 jobs of that 196,000, right? That means that in the past 12 months, the healthcare sector alone has created 398,000 jobs. And professional and technical services, which comes in second place, created 34,000 jobs of that 196. And over the past 12 months, that sector has created 311,000 jobs. And when I talk about professional and technical services, it's computer systems design and, you know, technology and engineering and architectural, technical consulting services, those kind of jobs. Now, the next data point is the food and services drinking places. They added 27,000 jobs, and which is still an upward trend, and they've done a really, really good job. Now, this area is very important to follow because these are your restaurants and your bars, if you will, right? And it's a cyclical business. And if they're hiring individuals, workers for the restaurants and bars, that means that the industry is growing, right? And that means that the consumer out there is spending money. That means that the economy is healthy, right? So as we're looking at this data, we have to think about it from standpoint of what the health of the economy is and where it's the most healthy. And it being healthy in the food and beverages industry, that's a very, very good sign. Now, next sector we want to look at is manufacturing. Now, manufacturing really had a job loss. They lost 6,000 jobs in March, and only gained about 1,000 in February. So over the last 12 months, it only has gained about 22,000 jobs, right? And this really is in line to our durable goods number that we saw earlier this week, right? That came in weaker than expected. So that is pretty much in line to see that that sector is weak, manufacturing sector is weak, and we see that initially from a durable goods number, and now we're seeing that same thing in the employment number. So that confirms that that's a weaker sector, and that's probably largely due to this whole tariffs thing that's going on, and there's just a lot of uncertainty around new investment, right? So just an FYI there. So mining, wholesale trade, retail trade, transportation, warehouse, information, financial services, and government really did not show any major change in the employment picture in March. So the rest of the sectors really didn't have much change, but the ones I mentioned there, and construction was the other one that had a little bit of job gains, but not a whole lot. So the rest of these sectors that I just mentioned had really no gains in jobs, no major gains in jobs. Now, the next data point we want to look at in this report is the average hourly earnings for everyone in the labor market, which came in up 4% to $27.70. So average hourly earnings for a worker in our labor market earns $27.70. And that is a pretty, 4 cents is not a big increase. We had a 10 cents increase in February, and it was 4 cents increase here in March, right? So it's not a big increase. And to me, this means that the Fed is not going to raise rates, right? Wages are one of those portions of inflation, of core inflation, that the Fed really worries about the most, right? Because that is one area that you cannot deflate in the future, right? So if wages take off, that's when the Fed really gets aggressive with rate hikes. In this case, you're seeing only a 4 cents increase in average hourly earnings. In my mind, the Fed is not going to raise rates here. That they're not going to be worried about inflation. And so they probably are going to keep the pause on. Now, are they going to cut rates maybe? Possibility if they see some more significant decline or deterioration in other sectors. Now, manufacturing sector could be a pause for them, you know, could be a cause for worry, if you will. But when it comes to inflation, we're not seeing any real inflation pressures here. The last thing I want to talk about is some of the revisions of the report from the previous 2 months, so January, February, right? So what we had is in January, we initially saw a really strong jobs number, which was 311,000 new jobs. And that number was actually revised by 1,000 jobs to 312,000. So that number was even revised up from there, just a little bit, but it was done. So that means that the number came in stronger than even previously reported. And then in February, we had a really weak number, right? It was at 20,000. And that number actually jumped a lot to 33,000, right? So that number has gotten a lot better, right? So now, if we take the average of January, February, and March numbers and divide that by three, now you're averaging 183,000 new jobs a month, right? So that's actually a pretty good number, right? So again, I've always said that employment data has a lot of noise in it. You have to average things out. You have to see the trend. And the trend is this economy is still creating plenty of jobs. There's plenty of job openings out there. Wages are moving up, sometimes by little, but they're at least moving up finally, versus what I saw in the past 10 years that initially it took a long time because you had a lot of other problems, right? So the labor market is tight. Wages haven't popped up too harshly. So I think the Fed's going to stay where it's at, you know, may cut rates if it gets a lot of pressure. I hope they don't. I think they should wait and see on how things are right now because they need that dry powder if something happens in the next 1.5 years when it comes to the R word. So I think this picture tells you what? It tells you that the employment situation is great. The economy is growing at a decent click. Doesn't matter what the what the GDP number comes in at here in the first quarter. That is a lagging indicator, right? That's something that's already happened. So we have to look at that with a grain of salt. This is really what matters here is the employment data. Okay, that leads to spending, that leads to corporate profits, and that leads to higher prices for stocks. Now, in summary, the market reaction to the employment report was mild. There are areas there that are reacting positively, NASDAQ and oil, and the other areas are basically flat. So what we're seeing here is that the markets are not anticipating a recession here in the next 6 months, and they feel pretty comfortable about the economy. And the data that we've gotten this week and last week shows us exactly that. There are areas of weakness. There are going to be companies that are going to miss their earnings, but that doesn't mean that the overall economy is weak. It's not. And it seems pretty robust, even though we may have a weak first quarter number of GDP here coming out. But you have to think about the fact that, you know, January, February were probably weaker than usual because of the obvious headline risk of the government shutdown and everything else that was going on. And then you're going to have, and the March was a definite rebound, right? And now I'm not saying that there's not possibility of any pullbacks here in the market, you know, 5 or 7% plus, but the technicals don't tell us that yet. The fundamentals are pretty fair. You know, we're trading at around 16 and a half times earnings on forward PE, 12-month forward PE, so which is a pretty decent number. We're not trading at 19 or 20 times, and we're waiting for earnings to be really robust, and we're not in that environment, right? So it all looks pretty fairly priced and sustainable at, you know, at least right now. Now, there could be other risks out there, you know, headline risk, trade issues, additional tariffs somewhere else, or some other comments coming out from the government, or a misstep by Jerome Powell, the Fed chairman. All those could be a future contributory factors of weakness in the market, but nothing that we're seeing so far is anything fundamental and that should affect your investment decisions or strategy. With that, I want you to rate us 5 stars if you really enjoyed this podcast, and follow us and subscribe to our podcast. It really helps us continue to be in business. And until tomorrow, I wish you guys all the best and take care. Please remember, this podcast is for information purposes only, and presenters will make every effort to provide accurate information, but assumes no responsibility for accuracy. You should not construe any such information or other materials as legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and there cannot be any assurance that the future performance of any specific investment strategy or products or non-investment related content made reference to directly or indirectly in this podcast will be profitable, equal any corresponding indicated historical performance levels, be suitable for your portfolio or individual situation, or prove successful. Due to various factors, including changing market conditions or applicable laws, the content may no longer be reflective of current opinions or positions. Moreover, you should not assume that any discussion or information contained in this podcast serves as a receipt or as a substitute for personalized investment advice from your advisor. To the extent you should have any questions regarding the applicability of any specific issues discussed, you are encouraged to consult with your professional advisor of your choosing.